Let's welcome our next speaker, Sebastian Steck.
So hello, also from me, a warm welcome to the Legal and Policy Issues Staff Room. Let's start right away. Today I would like to talk about GPL's termination from the point of view of German law. You might first wonder, what do I mean by termination? So if someone, the licensee, violates the GPL, there are some consequences for the licensee, which happens automatically, and there are other consequences which need some more manual action by the copyright holder. I will frame this as manual termination, so I would, in this talk, call both mechanisms termination. So even though more strictly you could say only the manual termination is really termination, and the automatic part is something else like conditions or scope of copy left or scope of copyright permissions or something like that. So, and in German law, as you might already know, we have a lot of precedents, thanks to Harald Welte and Till Jäger. And in my opinion, the best summary is this relatively recent decision of the Upper District Court of Hamm, and they say, according to the well anonymous opinion in case law and the at least predominant opinion in the literature, the distribution of software license under the GNU General Public License in breach of the license conditions constitutes a copyright infringement. So the essence is here, if someone violates the GPL, the copyright holder has the remedies for copyright infringement at hand. And the predominant remedy used in copyleft enforcement is here, of course, to get an injunction. So the copyright holder could get an injunction that the defendant may not distribute the copyright holder's work, or else if the licensee should dare to do it anyway, the licensee will be fined or jailed. So, but Harald Welte did not ask for a plain injunction about any distribution. So it was a very clever piece of lawyering, in my opinion, of Till Jäger to say, well, we add the phrase, unless accompanied with the materials that GPL requires. So to be more precise, they had spelled out what the materials that GPL requires are exactly are. So, and why did they do that? You could easily imagine to ask the court to get an injunction against distribution in any matter. So, and the point here is, the main defense of a defendant of a copyright injunction is, say, well, but I have a license. You can't get a license forbidding me behavior the license allows me to do. And this leads right to the point, what is with future distributions? So do past violations cause the licensee to lose their right to make future distributions? And these distributions, of course, have to be compliant on their own, so in particular accompanied with the materials that GPL require. So up to my knowledge, no court had ever to decide whether this second alternative is actually viable and allowed. But there was somehow a backdoor or detour how this question slipped into some of the lawsuits Harald Welte filed. And it was basically the licensee argued, well, this termination clause is so strict, that's unfair, it's an unfair term of adhesion, and it should thus be regarded as void, so there would be no termination at all. So, and the courts rejected the argument. This, for example, is from the ruling of the very first court ruling on the GPL in Germany. And they said the violator can reacquire the rights by acceptance of and obeying the conditions. So the courts had the opinion that even a past violator could make lawful copies in the future by obeying the GPL in the future. So it would not have been viable to try to get an injunction in the second way. Nonetheless, in my opinion, but as I already said, this is not yet tested in court, it is possible to get an injunction of that second nature if you take the right if the copyright holder takes the right preparatory steps. So, but you might first ask, is it really reasonable to try to go that route, or should we just stick with the first alternative? And the problem, or the potential problem here, is you may not fit any GPL violation into unless accompanied with the materials the GPL require. So you may imagine that a wannabe violator says, well, our scheme is we put all the documents we need together with the binary, the license text, the warranty disclaimer, and a perfect offer for source. But it's only perfect to the letter. If someone later asks, they just ignore them. So it may be the case that such conduct cannot be barred by an injunction following the first alternative. So I would argue in the following, what could a copyright holder do to have the second option available? And then at the end of the day, at least with the first lawsuits, you would have, you would go both routes in the alternative and then see what the courts actually say. So let's look back at section 4 of the GPL version 2. That's the so-called termination clause. Here we see the second sentence, which basically says that any attempt to make use of the licensed work, which is against the license, will automatically terminate the rights of under this license. So the FSF had already come to the conclusion that if you read this word by word in a very harsh way, you could say, well, that means one small mistake and all your rights are gone. So since they realized that that is impractical, in practice they made another termination clause in GPL version 3, which is basically a manual termination. So to summarize that, under GPL version 3, the copyright holder has to first send a warning letter and then wait some time, and then they can send the, basically the termination notice, even though the GPL version 3 does not use these words, but I would frame it using these words. So, but the conclusion that such terms would be impractical and even unjust was also made by the German legislature, and for this reason they introduced this section into the civil code, which basically says if there should be a contract which says that if one party violates the contract, they lose all their rights, such provision should be instead read as a right to rescind in the event that a party should violate the contract. So we have now inform us what does rescission actually, or more precisely, mean under German law. And rescission in layman's terms means the rescinding party sends a rescission notice and then the contract has to be unwinded. So more precisely here, the civil code says that the performances received must be returned and the benefits derived must be surrendered in the event of a rescission. And to get really the essence of what does this mean, we will have to look into a speciality of German law, and that's first the so-called separation principle. So the separation principle says that every everyday transaction, like for example a regular contract of sale, splits itself up into multiple contracts. You have first the contract of obligation, which solely creates the obligations. For example, in the contract of sale, it only creates the obligation on the seller to deliver the goods and on the buyer to pay the money and take the goods. And then to actually transfer the title when the goods are transferred, you have to enter into a second contract, a so-called disposition contract. And you may guess it, to transfer the money, you need a third contract, another disposition contract, usually. So, and a consequence of the separation principle is the so-called abstraction principle, which says if an obligation or the complete obligating contract gets void, this does not automatically void the disposing contracts, meaning that the goods are not transferred automatically back, the money is not transferred automatically back, the rights are not transferred automatically back, the title is not transferred automatically back, and so on. So, in a contract of sale, this means that they have to take, the buyer and the seller have to take extra steps to actually transfer the rights, the titles back. So translated to the GPL, this would mean if the copyright holder rescinds the GPL, this would only turn the obligating contract into a new contract requiring both parties to give back what they had previously received. But strictly formally speaking, the rights still stay where they are. They only have to be given back. This may be a technical formality. I would argue it basically is. We will see later how you can handle that. But I think you should be aware that the rights stay first where they are. So let us now look a little bit more into detail what rescission means, or what do you have to do for rescission. So you may wonder, what is this warning I've told right at the beginning? And this is the section closest to giving us an answer. Do you need to send a warning letter before we can the rescission notice? And this section is more precisely on statutory rescission rights. So what we've talked before was contractual rescission rights, read into the termination clause. So this section does not apply directly, but nonetheless, in my opinion, this emphasized the underlying principle that you should send a warning notice, or you even must send a warning notice where it is reasonable and fair and so on. So I would just recommend send a warning notice and then you're on the safe side. So to summarize what we have seen up to now, there is, at least in the German law, no automatic termination of the GPL. That means current or past violations do not void automatically future distribution rights. Of course, future distribution which is compliant. But nonetheless, a violation is still a copyright infringement because the permissions are only granted under conditions that the GPL is obeyed. In US terms, you would say there is a scope of the license, and if the licensee acts outside of the scope, you can get an injunction saying, no, you may not act outside of the scope, you may not violate the conditions. So if you have a case as a copyright holder, if you see a device, for example, which is violating, and you can say that there is a violating from just opening the box and see what's in there, you have a clear violation, I would recommend you strongly to go that route. It is well paved, there's lots of precedent. And I would add one remark here. You can get a preliminary injunction in such cases. A preliminary injunctions are very favorable for the copyright holder under German law. For example, they do not have to provide a deposit. And the only drawback of a preliminary injunction is, one, that you have to be quick, and B, you should be sure that it will prevail, because else you would owe damages. So if you have a clear violation, I would recommend go to the lawyer right away, and then the lawyer will send a warning letter giving the violator 1 or 2 weeks to solve the problem, and if the problem is not solved, go to the court and ask for an injunction, because the court will reject the preliminary injunction if you have waited too long, and that is if you have waited more than roughly a month from knowing the violation. So, and I may add here, this is what Harald Welter did, at least what he later did. He also wrote that when he wrote on his own two violators, he was just ignored. So it was basically, it was not only a waste of time and his own resources, but it also would rid him of getting a preliminary injunction. So I would strongly argue there is no point to be that friendly in a clear case to say, well, we sent a warning without lawyer first so that you don't have to pay the lawyer for writing the warning. So, but on the other hand, there may be cases where the copyright holder has to manually terminate the GPL, and it's not so the scholars do not all agree whether this theory, what I've presented, is actually the right theory. Some others say, well, you have to do something which we could translate as cancellation or termination. So, but in the end, you should set a deadline for cure in any way, so send a warning in any way. So it, no matter what legal theory actually would prevail, you should send a warning. And just say, here's the warning, if you don't fix the problem, we will take further measures. So, and then, if the problem is not solved, the copyright holder can send, in this case, the rescission notice. It may be a cancellation notice or whatever. So, and here is one more important detail. I wrote here partly rescission notice. So, you may have wondered what happens with the past distribution if the copyright holder rescinds the license. Have they be somehow unwinded? And there, even though it's rarely mentioned in the civil code, it's clear among scholars that you can have a partly rescission if that's reasonable. For example, with the GPL, you can say, the copyright holder can say, I rescind for all your future permissions so that you can meaningfully give me these permissions back, and I let the contract as is, the GPL as is, for all past distributions. So if there were, for example, an obligation to provide source code, this obligation would still be intact. So, and if you follow other theories, like you need a cancellation, you then have to send a cancellation notice or whatever. So I think it would be relatively easy to formulate it vaguely enough that you can fit the notice, now your rights are terminated, into any legal framework which might apply. So, and if rescission is the right framework, you have then demand the permissions back before you can get an injunction not to use this granted back permissions. But at the latest, when you're at this step, you should really get a lawyer. So, and then the lawyer will just write into the complaint, A, we want to have an injunction on the conditions, and if that does not work, we want to have in the alternative our rights back if they needed to be given back first, and then we want also an injunction against any distribution. So, that's basically what I would say a copyright holder could do in such situations. So, before we come to questions, let me make two more remarks. First, you may have copyrights or money or something else you feel is valuable for copyleft enforcement, and then your best address you can go to is Software Freedom Conservancy. So here are Bradley and Karen, and they are, I'm sure they are happy to help you with this, but you are also able to help yourself if you want to just assign your copyrights, go to sfconservancy.org assignment, or if you have some money to give, visit sfconservancy.org/donate, or you can also become a sustainer and give them regularly money. So, and the second remark is, so here is the disclaimer for the legal talk. And the disclaimer may is surprisingly, I have given no legal advice. You may have not noticed it, but the trick here is, according to the German Legal Services Act, legal advice is only advice given in a specific individualized situation. So, it is allowed to everyone to discuss the general situation, to discuss about some hypotheticals. So during Q&A, I strongly ask you to not bother me with your specific personal problems. I'm happy to have general discussions about all this with you, and I'm happy to discuss about hypotheticals, but that's it.
So thank you for your talk. And I think it's great that you bring up this last slide, because now I can sneak in a little remark on the previous panel. Because I think the solution to all the problems that we have discussed earlier is fairly easy, and maybe it's time for us as an open source community to start demanding that the ownership of the source code is with people like SF Conservancy and other nonprofit organizations. I'm a cybersecurity consultant, so I do horrible work in my what I'm paid for. I'm a very unethical person in my day job. But I don't write code, and I especially don't write proprietary code, and if I did, I would donate it to Conservancy, because I think that will actually solve the problem of for-profit companies monopolizing software. So, sorry I don't have a question on your talk, but that was just too good an opportunity.
And thank you.
It was a good talk. Karen and I did not ask either of them to promote us, and we really appreciate it. It's a little embarrassing, but much appreciated. I actually have a real question on your talk. It's a really excellent analysis. I'm curious if you looked at the other side of the question, because some of the, I guess they're called, we would call them statutes in the U.S. that you were quoting, they seem to also relate to this. I'm sure you're familiar with Till Yeager's theory that you can receive a new license once you come into compliance merely by downloading the software again. And it seemed like some of the things you were quoting there hinted at why he has that analysis, because I never fully understood his analysis, but some of your points seemed to fit with that, and it made a lot more sense to me hearing it from you.
So I think that the relevant thought you have to have here is, what is the disposing contract of the copyright holder to transfer the rights to the licensee? And depending on how you would frame that, you could say they would give it on an ongoing daily basis, or you could say they give it upfront, or they could say they give it upfront and additionally an offer to give it to you again if you should violate. And depending on how you frame that, you would end up with different things you would have to give back. So I was by intent vaguely about that, because I know there are different theories what is actually transferred and so what have to be actually giving back. But in my point of view, the essence is there is a rescission right which would provide the obligation to give back what they still have,
right,
no matter what it actually is.
I'm from Germany. I know all these things. I met Harald Welke and Till Yeager, and I can tell everybody that at least one of the companies he sued learned from this. But the question is, can you also give us insights on the situation in the U.S.? Because I know there is something called the Simpleware case. Maybe Karen could tell us something about this. And as far as I remember, that in this situation, the copyright holder of the GPL license software clearly stated on the website that certain companies permanently are banned from using their software.
I don't know exactly how the situation is. I can say enough for sure that the legal systems are strongly different in these questions and these kind of edge cases. So I knew that there is the theory under US law that the rights are permanently void. I knew, on the other hand, that there is theory you can get a new license by downloading it, but at the end of the day, it will have to be tested in court.
I got curious about two things. Here I am. About German law that you mentioned. So as far as I understand, one German court said that you can reacquire automatically rights under the GPL because you just go again to the website and download code. Could you maybe elaborate why the court said so? Because if it worked, then you could actually could violate various terms.
I could elaborate on that.
And just the second question. Is it under German law that the license has I don't know the German terms for that, but I understand that in civil law you have contracts that have only this obligatory effect and the real effect of transfer of, let's say, property rights. So do I understand correctly that licenses in German law have this real effect of transferring actually any rights?
Okay, so to your second question first, this goes basically back to the separation principle and how you would understand the term license in the on the background of German law. You could say the license is only the disposing contract with the real effect, or you could understand the term license saying it also includes the basically more contract, obligating contract thing, creating the obligations. So, well, I assume even the term word Lizenz is not used strongly for one thing or for both things. And to the problem of what happens if a violator violates again and again, or can they do that or can they not do that? So I think if the violation is unnoticed or at least unactioned by any copyright holder, they can violate again and again, which would be each violation again copyright infringements, but if nobody stops them, then nobody stops them, of course. And on the other hand, there is precedent which then lead to amendment of the civil code that no party of a contract can be forced to be trapped into a contract forever if the other party constantly does not oblige to the contract. So no matter how, which legal theory you actually apply or how you would actually frame it, in my opinion, you could always go back to this historic ruling and say, well, but a copyright holder cannot be trapped into TPL needing to tolerate violations forever.
Thanks. Really interesting talk. You already briefly mentioned U.S., or a previous question was about the U.S. Am I correct in thinking that this will be not the same but similar in other European countries, or am I wrong on that?
I don't know exactly enough the law of the other European countries to be able to give a precise answer, but I would guess it's more like the German way for the countries with hetero-Roman tradition. That's basically the non-English-speaking countries, and the English-speaking countries have the British tradition, basically, and these have then other rules.
Okay, let's thank Sebastian.